this over to Tim.
Thank you, Bill. The convention committee, again, on my assignment, was a little vague. They just said a report. And, boy, I thought of a lot of reports. I thought what they had in mind was either my stay in Romania or my trip to India. And I chose tonight to talk to you about India. It's not that the brethren in Romania are not close to my heart. And there's a wonderful story there. But you know, a number of brethren are going to Romania. And the reason why I'm talking to you about India tonight is that India, I don't want to say it's forgotten, but it's much farther away. There is no place on the earth that you can go that's farther away from us than India. It's just the opposite side. And it's hard to get there, and they feel that distance from us. They feel it more than any of our other brethren. I would say the situation in Africa is probably similar. But what I want to do tonight is to tell you a little bit about the Bible student situation in India. And I want to tell you, secondly, how we've been supporting them, the different things that we do for them. There'll be some reports from two of the brothers from India. I have reports from Brother Daniel and Brother Joseph. And I want to tell you what we're working on now, and then I want to tell you what kind of help we need. So, we'll start. India is probably the fastest growing country on the face of this earth. There are close to 1 billion people living in India. It's one third the size of the United States, and yet it has almost four times our population. It's largely a heathen country. Only 3% of the people consider themselves Christians. But 3% of a billion is a lot of people. So there are a fair number of Christians, and the Christians in India, because of the various efforts by evangelists starting back in the 1600s, the Christians basically live in the south of India. If you can picture that triangular subcontinent of India, it's down in the south that most of the Christians live. Because of that, most of our Bible students live in the south of India. There are two states. India has something like 13 or 14 states, like we have the 50 states. And these two states, Tamil Nadu and Karnataka, that's the names of the two states, each of them have about 50 million people. This is where most of the brethren live. There are two different languages in these states. And the brethren communicate back and forth. Some of them speak both languages, and some of them speak English, and that's their common language. The classes, there are about, amidst this heathen environment, there are about 600, 800 consecrated brethren running for the prize of the high calling. There have been brethren in India since Brother Russell's day. Their meetings are a little different than ours. Almost all of their meetings are discourses. I don't know whether it's because the literacy rate is so low. Only about half of the men in India read, and less than half of the women know how to read their respective languages. But their style of study is that they come to the meeting and one of the brothers will give a discourse. Their style also is that each ecclesia only has one elder. And typically he's the oldest brother in the class. So he is really the elder. He's the elder. and he and then perhaps the assistant elder will ask other brothers to give discourses. The classes tend to be settled rather geographically in tight little areas, because the transportation is such that if they can't come by bus, bicycle or motor scooter, then they don't come to the meeting. And typically, they will have meetings 4 nights out of a week. So each night, a different brother is giving a discourse, which means that it's different than our style in the sense that there's no interaction, there are no questions asked, no questions given, there's no question and answer, there's no discussion. It's strictly this one-way presentation. Now, the elders do have the reprints, for those who can read English. They do have concordances. They do have the New Comment Bible. And there is no question that the brethren there know God's plan and know the Bible. But it always strikes us as a little bit different when we go there and we see that they have no studies, hardly at all, but strictly all these discourses. They have a lot of youngsters, and they have very strong meetings for these youngsters, a very active program for the young people. The thing that would be different from our conventions and classes for the young people is that at the end of the convention in India, their children are given an exam over what they studied the preceding days. And if they don't pass the exam, they're in a lot of trouble. There is a committee of Bible students that has been organized through the various classes there. And our Northwest Committee for India, which has been in existence for over 50 years and was started by a young brother, young at that time, now deceased, who served in the British Navy, Brother Livermore. He came back to his home in Portland and got the brethren in the area to start sending relief supplies to the brethren in India. So our committee still works with their committee in India. How do we help them? Well, one thing we do is we send them money to print a monthly magazine. It's called The Bible Student. And they will take our Dawn magazines and translate one or two articles. They put in a few articles of their own. They put in a section for children. And they produce that each month. We also send them money for their annual general convention. And you see here, 73rd annual convention. They've been having a general convention since the 1920s. This is the hall that they rented. Now, when I say we, I'm saying we, the Northwest Committee, and this committee has been supported for years by the ecclesias in the Northwest, and most recently, in the previous several years, we were given money by the Dawn to funnel through us to the brethren in India. So we paid for this hall, and the brethren have, it's about three times the size of this hall. The chairs are removed at the end of the day, and the brethren sleep on the floor, almost all of them. So it's for them it's really a good deal, because it's not only a hall to meet in, but it's their overnight lodging. We also give them enough money to pay for their food, for the convention's food for the 3 days. Another thing we've done through the past years is print books and booklets for them. Not a lot, but they do have a first volume. There's some problems with the language it's written in, which I'll explain. We have printed for them the Creator's Grand Design in their language, at least for the one state, in Tamil, and a few other booklets, like the Hope booklet. What took place in the last 2 years is that we produced in their language, in the Tamil language, which is one of the two states, we produced for this cause in their language. We were able to provide them with a video projector for the film and a generator so that they can put on public meetings. That project, that aspect of the work in India has been going very well. At the last General Convention, I reported that it costs, with the transportation, renting a hall, and all the things that pertain to putting on a public meeting, it costs the brethren about $100 to put on a public meeting. And I suggested that if brethren here were interested in supporting this work, that they could contribute that amount of money. And since that time, we have received a number of contributions, and one contribution was over $1,000 for this purpose, and this has been working very well. The brethren are learning to use the equipment, and they are putting on for this cause in their native language, and it's been a big blessing to them. And you can understand that the advantage of a film like that with audio in a country where the literacy rate is only 50% is really vastly superior to the written language. Written books are important and booklets are important, and we do want to continue working on that, but if half the people can't read, you can see how effective it is to have a slide or a video presentation like for this cause. This is a shot of the convention, and we're having lunch, and there's a banana leaf. Everybody gets a clean banana leaf, and then the brothers come around and put a scoop of rice on your banana leaf, and then various sauces. Another brother will come with a lamb sauce. Another brother comes with a curry sauce, and you mix those together, and you eat with your fingers. The pictures you're seeing are all of brethren. Some of them, this brother is an elder in one of the ecclesias. Excuse me, he is the elder in one of the ecclesias. And you will see children, sisters, and various brethren that we work with. Now, the reason that we go there, in addition to working with them, we also go there physically. And we have done this for about the last 10 years. Before that time, we were sending money over and asking them to deal with it, and we got into trouble because some of the money was sent to people we really didn't know, even though they were brethren, and in some cases the money was misused. So, these are not dropping very well. So we decided that it was necessary to go to look them right in the face, to meet with them, to discuss their problems and their wants and their needs. And we found that since members of our committee have been going over, the work has been going much smoother. The Indians, even beyond our brethren, are very friendly people. They're very warm. Now I'm going to have reports from two brothers. One is from Brother Daniel, and you will see pictures of them with their families. And after Brother Daniel will be Brother Joseph. These are the brothers that we have worked with the most over the years. And the second brother, Brother Joseph, you will see a picture of him and his family in front of his house. And you'll be interested to see what the house looks like. And the inside of the house is probably 10 feet by 15 feet, which is going to be the size of one of our small bedrooms. And about 13 people live in that space. Now, this is Brother Daniel, and this is a report we have from Brother Daniel.
I'm Brother Daniel from Bangalore. Greetings to our brethren of the American Committee for India, and to all in the dear name of our Lord. I received Brother Tim's letter dated November 10, asking a number of questions regarding our translation efforts. We are most excited about translating the small booklet, The Divine Plan in Brief. We see great use for this abridged first volume. We would like to have this book in Tamil, Kannada, and Hindi. This would present the truth to the subcontinent of India as never before. Our showing of the public meeting video has been delayed for lack of a generator. Only this week have we received the generator from Madras. We will now need some funds to move these heavy articles to any place in and out of Coimbatore. There are demands outstationed for many of the classes who wish to present a public meeting. I tried to decline as chairman of our India Bible Students Committee, but the brethren insisted that I serve another year, so I will do the best I can. It is a joy to think of your past visits. We are planning our general convention to be one day longer than usual to accommodate more Americans. We anxiously await your coming. We are closing this year very fast and to enter another troublesome year. It is not going to be a happy, good new year as the world expect and wish. I always remember the verse, Revelation 3:10. With much Christian love and regards, your brother in the field of our Master, Daniel.
Let me comment briefly on a few things he said. We received communication from him, as you could figure out, at the end of the year. And he asked about the funds for the public meeting. And those funds have already been sent, additional funds. Brother Daniel has worked as the chairman of the committee there for many years, and he's obviously tired. And he travels up and down the country. He's a retired railroad person, so he gets a free pass, but he spends a lot of time in the Lord's service. And he was also hoping that more Americans were going to come to this to their 95 General Convention. And now from Brother Joseph.
Philippians 1:3. Beloved brothers and sisters, grace, peace, love, and joy be your portion amidst trials and tribulations. Greet you many, many happy returns of the day and a big God bless. My wife and children join me in extending you loving Christian greetings. May the dear Master be your guiding star in all your walks of life on earth, and our daily prayers for your bright days ahead with all-sided growth in grace of the eternal beloved Jehovah God. You inquired what topics we were being printed in our monthly magazines in the past months. We translate the highlights of the dawn, subjects from the reprints, 2 pages from the second volume each month, questions and answers, children's portion, written by Brother Daniel, history of the Holy Land, and the international Bible studies. I am pleased to enclose herewith 17 notices for renewal for the dawn received from Indian readers. For me, 25 is being sent. Instead, it may be increased to 50 hereafter. We are thankful for the VCR and etc. We are able to show to many places the witness work is made easy. Thanks a lot. Greetings of the season to you and family of faith. Kindly convey love to all. Happy Christmas and New Year. In Him, by your grace, Brother Joseph.
These are dear, sweet, consecrated brethren. What we're working on now, there are some organizational things that we've been able to make some progress on. even sending money to India has been a big challenge. And a number of times the transfers have gotten lost in the very antiquated Indian banking system. But we have just instituted a relationship with the Bank of India in New York City, and we're now transferring money to them via wire. Incidentally, this is one of my best friends in India. This is Anbu. And Anbu was my constant companion at the General Convention. And he would not leave us until he asked permission. He'd say, "Uncle, can I go now?" Another good friend of mine, this is Naresh. And what I find so incredible about Naresh is that he was formerly a Hindu. And now he has come out of that darkness into the marvelous light of God's plan. One of the problems in dealing with India is the communications. None of the brethren that we deal with have a telephone. Telephones are very unusual in India. And not only do we have to call neighbors to get in touch with them, but what would be ideal is to have a fax machine, because even when we talk to them, sometimes we can't understand their accents, and it would be a lot better for us if it were printed copy. We would very much like to do a second video, as we did with For This Cause, but at this time we don't have the funds. And the second state to the north, Karnataka, they would also like a video in their language. And we would like to, if the funds were available, we could proceed on some of these things with professional translators. And the reason that we can't use the brethren is that the brethren are being used to translate booklets, but there are only one or two brethren, literally, out of the whole group that are educated enough to do translation. So one of the things that we're focusing on at the moment, and they are tremendously excited about, is a small booklet called The Divine Plan in Brief. And the brethren in England took the first volume, and they took out primary paragraphs and put them in a little booklet, chapter by chapter. And what was so exciting to the brethren in India was that the translation effort could be done in maybe 6 months instead of redoing a whole volume, which might take them 2 years. The first volume does exist in Tamil, where most of the brethren are, but it is in a Tamil that is something like 400 years old. So it would be a little bit like us trying to read Chaucerian English. So not only is there a high illiteracy rate, but the volume happens to be in a language, their language, but it's so antiquated that only a few of them can read it. So this is stopping their studies, and it's not facilitating the class growth. So they are working now on a translation of this Divine Plan in Brief in their modern Tamil. So they're very excited about that. And then secondly, they're also working on a translation in Hindi. And since most of India speaks Hindi, this is going to put truth literature for the first time in a language of something like 750 million people. So you can see why they're excited. Now they're translating, but we're not sure yet how to handle the printing and publishing. Let me tell you how they handle printing now. Like for their monthly magazine, the type is set piece by piece. In other words, each letter is a separate piece of type. That's what Gutenberg was doing in the 1500s. And they will set the type for something like 8 pages of the magazine. They print those 8 pages, but then they have to take all the type apart because that's all the type they have. And then they have to do another 8 pages. And they do that, And you can see how what a laborious process it is. This is one of the areas that we would like some help on. I'm going to jump ahead to something else and come back to this area of help. And I want to just tell you that this was one of the hotels we stayed at. The second area that we would like help on is brethren who will make a pilgrim trip to India. I was afraid that if I didn't show you some of the hotels we stayed at, you'd be afraid to go. But I know that as soon as I show you this hotel, you'll all be happy to go. Won't you? Thank you. Just like you're all coming to Portland, I know. This is another hotel we stayed at, and we picked the hotels based on two criteria. One is that it has air conditioning. It's not that air conditioning is so important, but that just gives us a level of hotel. We know if they have air conditioning, it's a pretty decent place. And secondly, we pick it because these hotels have a restaurant in the hotel. So our pilgrims and visitors do not have to go down the street. They can eat very nicely right in the hotel. The brethren in India are so far away from us that they need our fellowship and they need contact with the rest of the body of Christ. This year, Brother Michael Brand is going to the General Convention, and you know that at the last General Convention here in the United States, we made an open invitation to anyone who wanted to please join us to the Indian General Convention, which will be this coming May. And we had some interest, but then the schedules got in the way. And what's happening at the moment is Brother Mikolai Grujin from Phoenix and his wife Debbie are going to go with Michael, and also Brother Jeremy Zendler of Chicago. So the four of them will be attending the Indian General Convention this May. So that being established, I am now soliciting for the 1996 Indian General Convention. And we very seriously would like a few brothers, and if possible their wives, because there's a lot of consecrated sisters there that need to see and experience talking with some of our consecrated sisters. We would like them to start considering if they would go in May of 1996 to the Indian General Convention. So that's one area that we're asking for help. Oh, incidentally, this is a very fancy hotel in Bombay. And if you didn't like the other hotels, I would be happy to make a reservation for you in this hotel. This is a 5-star hotel. So one of the things that we're asking for help is, please join us and come with us to the Indian General Convention. That's number one. Number two is that we're looking for an ecclesia that has some young brothers in it, let's say young elders, who all work in the data processing field. Like, say, one of them maybe works for a newspaper in the data processing field. Maybe another one works for a hospital in a data processing field. And, you know, just something like that. I don't know. I'm just making this up. And what we need is a little committee established. This will teach you to let me give a report at your convention. What we need is a little subcommittee to be formed to implement desktop publishing for our brethren in India. They are struggling with antiquated methods that are 200 years old. And we need to figure out how to use a word processor in their language, how to print the material, and start expediting their translation work and getting it onto the printed page. So that's the second thing that we're asking for help. I'm going to close now, and my feelings regarding India is that we have some very, very precious brethren, not these ones here. These are kind of cute too, and they're all over the place. This is Bombay. But we have some very precious brethren there who are living a life of sacrifice. They're in a very heathen environment, and they need all the support that we can give them. I think the time is short, especially for India. There's a lot of political turmoil there. There's problems between the Muslims and the Hindus. The Christians are a definite minority. And the impression I get from India is that in a year or two, they're going to be like Yugoslavia. They're going to be breaking up into small states, and eventually there'll be a revolution there and the same problems that are now striking Bosnia. So it seems to me that the time is still open now for us to help our brethren there, and there will come a time very shortly where there'll be nothing more that we can do for them except pray for them. So I hope that you can remember some of the faces you've seen here, some of the pictures. As you pray for the brethren in India, I hope that some of these images come before your mind, make it more real for you. And I encourage you to join with us in the efforts that we are making to help our brethren in India. May the Lord add His blessing.